This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Co-host Dr. Angel Falzone. Good to see you tonight, Dr. Angel.
It is so good to see you, and it's so good to be back live in the studio after a few weeks off.
It is, and the reason we really haven't been off, but we have just not been able to be here, especially with me, with just coming back from a missionary trip to Mexico, which was amazing, so we had to use a couple reruns, and we apologize, audience, when that happens, but it happens from time to time, and so we're live in the studio, and we love it, and you can, by the way, text us during the show if you want to at 888-727-888-4171 is our Google text number. More and more people have been using that. It comes to my phone, and I can get any questions or comments over to Dr. Angel very easily. 727-888-4171 is our Go Yard text number, Google text number. So use it whenever you want to get a hold of us. And question answer show coming up in January.
Yes, and please email and text your questions in. We love getting questions from you, our audience. Where you really are in life, and how can we help you get through that?
And we get a lot, of doozies, quote unquote, whatever a doozy is.
We get some big ones and some hard ones, and I love it.
Yes.
Because you know what? Life is not always easy, and I like to know where our audience is at.
Absolutely. So send in your questions soon. And if it's a long one, the easiest way to do that is send it to our email, again, which comes directly to my computer, and that is goyard2014@gmail.com. The 2014 is because we started the show in September 2014. So we're more than 2 years into it. And I love every opportunity to be on the air talking about what we talk about. What is it we talk about, Dr. Angel?
We talk about helping you, our listeners, hit those home runs in life.
And, yes.
You know, not just living and existing, but doing it well.
Doing it well. So it's a life coaching show, and we love that, and it was designed to be that, and we hope our ideas and our concepts and the truths that we talk about will help our listening audience, and we're open for ideas for shows, right? If somebody has something they go, I'd like to hear that.
Always, yeah. Email or text us a topic idea, always. You know, right. In 2+ years, we have not run out of topic ideas.
Kind of crazy, isn't it?
Life is just always happening.
There's always things to happen. And we like to make them contemporary with what's going on. Our first series that we did on the show in September of 2014 was about domestic violence. Remember that?
I do. And that was when it was big in the NFL. And players were getting suspended. And it was a really timely topic.
It was. And so that's kind of how we kicked this show off so long ago. And there's a lot of series. Give them an idea of what they can find on our website, goyard2014.org, O-R-G. There's all kinds of shows there.
There's all kinds. We have done series on substance abuse, on parenting, on boundaries, on relationships, on goal setting. We have tons and tons of great topics, you know, dealing with anxiety, dealing with, you know, just all kinds of stuff. And so when we talk about it,
lemons.
Make lemonade. You know, when we talk about a show, it may not be meaningful to you in that moment,
right?
But it may come up And you may need, you know, give you a tool to use in that moment when you need it.
So go to our website, goyard2014.org, O-R-G. Go to the radio shows, and they're there. An easy, easy tool.
Titled, easy to access at any time, and it's a great, great free resource.
Absolutely. So we have a couple shows here tonight and one next week before we end out this year, this calendar year. And what's the title of this one and why?
This one is Paralysis of Regret.
Paralysis of Regret. You mean regret can paralyze you, Dr. Angel?
It absolutely can. And, you know, and I think especially this time of year, it's really something that comes up for a lot of people.
Right. So let's define regret. And why do we have regrets as humans? We all have them, correct? This is a universal issue.
Oh, absolutely. There, you know, if you're living,
You've had some regrets.
How would you define it, though, Doctor? Well, you know, it's kind of that feeling of being sad, disappointed, or sorry about something either you did or did not do.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So it's kind of beating yourself up, I suppose, regret is?
It can totally be beating yourself up.
Okay.
But it's a little more complicated than that, and it's more deeply rooted than just beating ourselves up. You know, because sometimes, you know, you get out of a conversation, and I know a lot of people do this. Oh, I should have said this, or I should have said that. You know, that's a small acknowledgement of regret when we start using those words with should have.
Okay, should have, yeah.
That's usually a sign that there's some regret to follow with that. Those are minor little things that we usually overcome quickly.
Right.
But when we're really talking about regret, we're looking at the life regret.
Oh, okay.
You know, you were talking about how people set up this idea of what life should look like.
They do. I mean, they have it kind of ingrained as a child, don't you think? Now, I know there are exceptions to this. There's probably some people who don't kind of set that model for their children. But don't a lot of people kind of set a...
They absolutely do. You know, and I work with children all the time as part of my job.
Yes.
And 4 and 5 year olds will tell me, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to marry this, and I'm going to have 10 kids. And I'm
exactly
thinking about what this life is going to look like really little.
Right.
And they keep those images as they grow of what this ideal life should look like.
Exactly.
And then ideal life doesn't happen.
Right.
Right. Life happens.
Right.
And then there's a lot of feeling of regret. And so that kind of regret is rooted in deep sadness, depression, shame, embarrassment, guilt. So those are that deep-rooted regret feelings that happen when our ideal life
just doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
You know, it's one thing to have a goal of when I grow up, I want to be a certain thing, right? In fact, my baby twins, not mine, they're my great-granddaughters, but they were saying the other day that they wanted a doctor kit for Christmas because they both want to be a doctor, and they're 3, okay? So they already have something that they've seen. They went to the doctor. It was a pleasant experience. They got a shot. Now they want to give everybody a shot. But you know what I'm saying? That's one thing, but we're not talking about career expectations as much as we are events, correct?
Well, and it can be anything. What happens is when this expectation is kind of written in the concrete of our life.
Well, written in the concrete of our life.
We make this expectation and we're writing it in concrete in our mind. This is what it has to look like.
All right.
So it could be a career for some people. It could be relationship status. It could be having children. It could be living in a certain type of house with a certain type of lifestyle.
Okay.
It could be relationship-wise. It's when we write these things in concrete, meaning this has to happen for me to feel satisfied, happy, like I'm living a good life.
So are you saying that this is common?
It absolutely is common.
Okay.
You know, and it's funny because we were just talking about our favorite Christmas movie here.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Griswold.
Yes, that's both of our favorite Christmas movie.
It is. And he is such an icon for the ideal life.
Chevy Chase, y'all remember that Christmas vacation?
He had the perfect vacation planned for his family at his house. Everyone was coming.
Right.
And nothing worked. You know, extra guests show up. And that are staying, and they don't have enough supplies, and he didn't get his bonus, and the tree didn't work out the way he wanted, and the turkey got overcooked, and it fell apart because his ideal image of what that event should look like fell apart. And it was a great comedy of mishaps, but a lot of people get stuck there.
They get stuck there. And I think our family, we try to watch that every single year. I mean, it's just fun to watch that. But it does speak highly of what happens, especially in America, where we have certain standards and ways we think a holiday should go.
An event, anything. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, we concrete that in our mind. So when something's not working that way, we start feeling depressed, sad, guilt, you know, shame. All those things start coming in on us.
Okay, why do we concrete it, quote unquote, in our minds?
Why do we do that? I don't know why we do that, but some people just, it has to appear this way.
It just has to be
that way. There's no flexibility for change.
Yeah.
Because they still ended up having a nice
time,
and they recovered a lot of crazy mishaps, but there was a lot of stress coming out, and he was exploding and blowing up, and people wanting to go home because of it, and we do that as humans. We kind of just set this. This is in stone. This is what it's got to look like for it to be okay.
And so would you agree with me, Doctor? A lot of people can't really articulate that that's the way it's supposed to be. They may not like have that on the front of their mind, but it's in the back of their mind.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that's
on the
what
front,
they're measuring life up to.
The front burner is kind of, we can actually say, yeah, this is what's going to happen today, and this is how it's going to happen. But the back burner of our mind, so to speak, it's kind of, it's in there, and we don't even realize it's affecting us, those expectations.
Absolutely, and it really affects our emotions and how we deal with people and how we feel content with what we have or don't feel that way. And so it leaves people stuck and paralyzed.
Yes, it does. Okay, so this is a problem. And as we get ready to turn the year over to 2017, it seems like a good topic for right now at the end of the year, because maybe people have some time off from work. Maybe they're sitting around by the fireplace, whatever, and they can maybe do some contemplating, some reflecting, if you will.
Absolutely. It's a great time. You know, end of the year is kind of, people naturally do that life review and that year review. I mean,
right.
even social media does it for you. See what your year looks like.
I saw that a lot.
And as we review it, that's when we start noticing or really realizing those feelings of regret start really surfacing. And then we add the extra stress of end of the year and holidays and family and finances. And it gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so use this time to start identifying, what are those things that I'm feeling this regret over?
Exactly. So the person who says, well, I wasn't even aware that I have regrets, I'm just sad, I'm depressed, would you say that this is a good time to take a look and see if there are some regrets
Absolutely,
that you could write down or think about?
You know, within depression, regrets can be found. So when you're starting to feel like those depressed feelings, what are some things that's going on? What is my ideal view of my life at this time? Maybe look at what it is. You know, we use that technique in therapy all the time. And what's your perfect life look like?
Really?
Because that's usually where we start finding the regrets.
Okay.
The difference between the real life and what we viewed in concrete as the perfect life.
Exactly.
And then we can start tearing it apart and reality testing and getting down to what can we do about this.
Exactly.
But look at that, because sometimes you don't even realize that you have this ideal life in your head. You're just feeling miserable.
Well, that's my point. I think a lot of people may say, okay, I'm not aware that I have a lot of regrets, but it's a kind of a clue. If you're depressed, especially at holiday times, or as the year turns over every year, if that's a difficult time for you, and if you're just down in the dumps and you're not exactly sure why.
Absolutely. And this is a really good time to kind of start looking at what's some of those things going on. And I think some of it our culture kind of sets us up for, because I was watching on the news about a week ago about parents writing apology letters to their kids from Santa when they didn't get the gifts that they wanted.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, what are we doing? We are setting these children up for major issues throughout life.
What's the reasoning behind a parent doing that?
Well, to help the children handle their disappointment.
Oh, for heaven's sake. We have got to teach or let our kids live, right?
They have to
and
feel
face,
that.
They have to feel it. You and I are big on that and wanting kids not to be so sheltered that everything is going to be the way they want it to be, right?
Absolutely. And so when somebody gives you a gift, which is a bonus, it's a gift, not an expectation, we should feel grateful for that gift instead of feeling disappointed it wasn't exactly what we wanted it to be.
So,
but we live life like that too.
Right. But isn't that kind of a check that take a look at that. If you're feeling disappointed, yes, you got a gift, but it wasn't the gift you wanted. Or your husband bought you a beautiful bracelet, but it didn't cost $3,000. It cost $500. Or, you know what I'm saying?
It happens.
And it's not a measure of somebody's caring and love for you if it's not exactly what you would have hoped for.
Because that concreted ideal life is taking over. And you won't believe the amount of people that will enter counseling in the beginning of the year.
Right.
Over the disappointment of this holiday season not fitting that ideal life.
I'm sure that's true. And a lot of times that there's a rush of shopping. There's a rush, an emotional kind of whatever you want to call that kind of rush. What do you call that? Adrenaline rush or whatever.
Yes.
You're going out, you're spending money and you're buying this for that person. And you're expecting that person to really love the gift, right?
Well, we're hoping for that usually, yes.
And when that doesn't happen, oh my. A lot of times there's a lot of regret. I shouldn't have bought that. I should have. And people, I've seen them. I've seen people do this. They just beat themselves up. I guess I got that wrong. I got that wrong. And feeling really bad about how much maybe they couldn't spend, or, you know, like we talked to earlier. But go ahead.
Absolutely. And so some key words to identify areas of regret are words like should.
Yes.
And words like if. Shoulds and ifs.
Okay.
And could haves.
Give us examples.
So if I say I should have.
Right.
Done this. That's a feeling of regret. Or I could have done this or bought this or whatever, put behind it what it goes. Or if this was like, those are feelings of regret.
Okay.
Shoulds, coulds, and ifs.
So we all have these.
Oh, yeah.
This is a universal problem, right?
It is.
And if we can let it make us into somebody better, or we can let it totally take us down the rabbit hole of depression and anxiety and fear and all of that.
And it can totally paralyze us from being able to move forward in our own life.
Right.
And we're letting it to hold us back. We're letting it to concrete shackles our
yes,
feet.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and life just doesn't happen the way our ideal life works out.
Exactly.
For almost probably every human, their life is not that ideal life. And so it's learning those flexibilities. It's learning how, okay, this is a curveball that's coming to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a teenage pregnancy in the family, or
right.
maybe, you know, an illness happened, or maybe we lost a job and it's changing our lifestyle. But how can we move through this?
Exactly.
Instead of getting stuck there.
I've known athletes, you know, as my kids were growing up, you know, kids getting injured to the point in a sport that they could not become that star quarterback that dad and grandpa and everybody expected them to become. Or something like that, a car accident. Something happened and they couldn't do it. And it's like they are stuck. Well, that's what we're talking about, the paralysis of regret.
Mm-hmm.
But I've known people like this, and maybe you have too, that they're stuck back there in high school where that night the quarterbacks, maybe he was paralyzed from the waist down. Whatever the case may be, they're stuck right there.
And then they don't move forward, and they're sitting, the longer you stay stuck, the more negative feelings and emotions that surround it, the deeper it gets rooted.
Right.
The more it impacts your relationships, your quality of life. Like,
oh,
all these things just kind of go downhill.
Absolutely. So this is a very important topic, more so than we might have even thought at the very beginning, right? Because if we are paralyzed, that means we're not moving forward and we're not enjoying life to the fullest.
Absolutely. That's what that means. Not only are we not moving forward, but we're stuck looking back.
Oh, yeah. We're stuck in looking in the rearview mirror all the time.
Absolutely. So it would be like driving your car in reverse and thinking you're getting somewhere.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Wow.
And that's what we're doing to ourselves through this process of hanging on to these regrets.
But do people
and brewing in them.
Do people even realize this very much, Dr. Angel? Or do they sink into these depressive behaviors and attitudes and feelings and not know why they're feeling what they're feeling?
I see a
mix.
What's
your experience?
I see a mix. Some people can articulate and really go, know that this is a regret, this is what I'm feeling, but they're still stuck in it.
Right.
Some people can't figure that out, and we kind of do that together.
Right.
I've seen a mix of both people. Some people are very conscious about, I should have done this, or I should not have done this that night, and now my life is different forever.
Right.
And then there's all that loss that comes with some of that. And so some can know the exact moment in time that regret started happening.
Exactly. And if we've got ourselves you know, conditioned to believe that my life is going to look like this. And then something happens that changes that. And we realize, we wake up and realize, whoa, I am not going to be able to do this that I wanted to do or thought I was going to do. It's kind of a shock to the system for some people, don't you think?
Absolutely. Some people just, they can't move forward from it. Some people can't think around it. They can't look at other options. It's just very tunnel vision that happens.
Right. So that's not unusual.
Not at all. I see so many people that has amazing potential and they're so stuck that they can't move forward and they can't even recognize their own potential that they could change this plan, an alternate plan that would be amazing for them.
So many, and it may be you, listener, tonight, maybe this has been a problem for you and you're saying, whoa, maybe that's me. This is a very important crossroads in your life when you recognize, okay, this is me. I have been paralyzed by all these regrets. Maybe a teenage pregnancy, as you mentioned, or whatever, or failing some major exam so you didn't get into the college of your choice, etc.
Oh, it can be all kinds of things. It could be a relationship. Maybe you didn't get to say something to somebody and maybe they're gone and you won't get that opportunity.
Right.
Those are big regrets, especially during the holiday season. This
sure
is where we're thinking about all those people we've lost throughout the years and what that feels like. And there's a lot of people with unfinished business and relationships that paralyze them and that fit into this category.
You know, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up because I think that that is a real problem for a lot of people when somebody dies suddenly, mm-hmm. especially if it's a death that's coming on for a while, that's a little different. They have opportunity to talk, and we know that people dying can basically hear you. That's kind of medically been proven, but the person who experiences the death of a loved one or a relative or whatever the case may be, and they feel like they left unfinished business, that can be a real huge form of regret, don't you think?
Absolutely. One I hear.
What would
so
you say?
Often.
You hear this?
I do hear this.
Counseling.
And here's the thing. We don't have a time machine and we can't go back and change that. So
right.
We have to learn how we can go forward. And there's things that we do to help that person go forward.
Right.
You know, writing those letters, having those conversations, even though they're still not here, and letting us process that at the moment because we don't have a DeLorean and we can't go relive that moment in time.
Exactly.
But we can't let that moment in time shackle us for the rest of our lives either.
So the person who says, but you don't know what it feels like. I lost this person in my life. I've never loved anybody as much as this person. They're gone. It was tragic. It was sudden, whatever. You know, address that, would you?
Well, it's really challenging when that happens. Because
right.
a lot of times there's all kinds of, maybe there was friction in the relationship.
Maybe they were driving the car in a wreck. You
maybe
know?
There's blame. There can be a lot of things
yes.
behind when we lose someone. Suddenly that leaves us feeling very shameful, regretful, depressed. And
right.
And so working through that can be a little more complicated. And I would definitely suggest if you really feel like this is something you're stuck with, is that you might want to go get some professional
help. Oh, absolutely.
Because this is one of those really deep-rooted things that you really need someone to help get you through. But you can get through, and there is healing, and you can move forward.
Would you address the effect of forgiveness when it comes to something like this? Let's say a trauma that we're discussing right here. I just feel like we need to talk about this for a minute, that there's somebody out there that is experiencing this exactly in their life, maybe a lot more than one someone.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot. You know, forgiveness is really multifaceted. And the first person we need to learn to forgive is ourselves.
Exactly. Yes.
And so often we don't. We
right.
don't want to forget. We keep ourselves on the hook of whatever that was we did or did not do.
Right.
And in some way we might have contributed it to the tragedy or made it some cause and effect when it may or may not have been in that case. But that forgiveness of self is paramount.
Yes.
For us to let go and move forward.
Right.
And then we giving forgiveness to others. And, you know, people struggle with the forgiveness factor.
They really do.
But you don't know what they did, and you don't know what I went through when it comes to forgiving someone else for something negative that's happened to.
Right.
And forgiveness, I'm just going to let this go. It is not about the other person. Forgiveness is about you. It's about you letting this go.
They don't owe you anymore.
It's like you are carrying, you are dragging the mm-hmm. bags of what happened. Mm-hmm. They're living their life.
Right.
They're doing their thing. And you're the one feeling the pain all the time and every day. And feeling forgiveness is about you cutting the strings of those bags and moving without the weight.
And I like the explanation. Not only do they not owe you anymore, but they can't make it right. Generally speaking, that is the case. Not always. Sometimes a good, sincere apology would go a long way to making it right. But human beings, a lot of times, do not see the pain that someone else is feeling because of our actions. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
And sometimes you can't make it right.
You can't make it
right. And sometimes people don't want to even acknowledge that they did something wrong to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need anyone to acknowledge it. You don't need them to make it right to have forgiveness.
Exactly. Back to the thing about forgiving yourself. That really goes right along here with this topic of regret. Because until we can get to that point where we can let it go, it's really hard to deal with regrets.
It is, because we are, like, proverbially, we're dragging these things with us everywhere we go. It's weighing us down.
Wow. Coming back from a mission trip in Mexico, I had this huge suitcase, you know, and it got heavier as I was down there because of what I was putting in it, extra things I was buying for grandkids, etc. And it seemed like, you know, with transfers, plane transfers, when you're going from one country to another, you got to get your bag and you got to tote it to the next place, you know? Unbelievable. I took this huge big thing up an escalator, okay, with a carry-on bag in front of me. And it's like I could have so easily fallen because it weighed like, I don't know, 75, 80 pounds. And so, you know, here I am doing this and just holding on for dear life to not let it fall off. And it seems to me, doctor, that a lot of people pile on more and more reasons why they're a scum or they
life's
messed
fair,
up and
yeah.
life's not fair. And it's like going up the escalator, hanging on to an 80-pound bag like I just did.
Yeah.
And it's like at any moment it can fall and destroy people behind you.
Yep.
Absolutely. Or it can knock you off when you get to the top.
It can slow you down. It's weighing you down. It can, you know, cause strain on your body.
Oh,
like all kinds
my
of
gosh,
stuff.
Gosh, yes.
But that's what we do every day emotionally.
We do. This couldn't come at a more important time, this show today, folks, when we're starting a new year, because it's an excellent time to get a few hours or minutes by yourself somewhere quiet in your backyard in a porch swing. And, you know, we are blessed here at the beach.
Yes.
In our 80 degree weather, you know, someplace alone where you can contemplate and reflect. I love the word reflect. Do you want to discuss reflection and what that means really?
And well, reflection is where we're kind of opening up and looking inside ourselves.
Okay.
And we're not staying stuck there. We're reflecting, kind of like when you look in a mirror, you kind of go by and
right.
you reflect yourself and then you keep going. Well, this is what we're doing. We're going to open it up. We're going to see what's there. And then we're going to use that to keep going.
We're
not going to stay reading looking backwards. Reflection is a short little trip to kind of see what we're feeling and what's going on underside of us so we can deal with it.
So you would highly recommend that people do this, have a time of reflection, especially as we turn a new year.
Absolutely, because you know what? New Year's are great opportunities for us to feel like we're getting a fresh start.
Right.
You know, everything's new, and that newness helps us to have some success with that when we are able to move forward. But when we're taking all this baggage, we're not really able to move forward. And then we don't succeed at what we want to change next year. Everyone makes those goals, and then
right.
by March,
they're gone. Or by January 15th.
I was giving them some credit.
Oh,
here.
Okay. All right. We got to talk more about this in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Let's have a break. Listen to these great songs.
I looked at my wife, and then and there I thank the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking the man upstairs. And just because he may not answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered. Some of God's greatest gifts are all too often unanswered.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Buying a house, Betty shakes his head and says, baby, just slow down, 'cause you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast.
Wow, you picked a great song, Dr. Angel.
Oh, thanks. Those are powerful.
Absolutely. That last one you just did, I want you to play that much again in just a second. I'll tell you when. Because so often we miss so much of life, what it can be, because we're stuck. We're just plain stuck.
Yeah, we spend so much time looking back that we're missing this moment.
And I can tell you, because I'm a couple years older than you, a couple decades, anyway, or more, that life goes by fast, Dr. Angel. It goes by so fast. My youngest son and his wife are getting ready to have a baby, and I look at them, and I think, I remember when he was born. I remember every detail, and I can't believe it's been 30-some years. I can't believe it's been that long, you know? And life flies. Let's do that last thing again. And then I want your comment on what you're hearing in the song and why it's so important.
You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast.
That is great. Who's that singing that?
That's Trace Adkins.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I knew it was familiar. Yes. Okay. What do you hear there? Why'd you pick that song?
I picked that song because I think we miss so much of our present life.
Yes,
when we are
do.
Thinking about all the things we don't have, or, you know, the should've and the would've's and the could've's and the regrets,
right,
that we're missing this moment. And then
yes,
we're going to get further down the road, and now we're going to regret missing this moment. And
right,
it just stockpiles on us.
Right.
And we need to learn to live in the moment.
Live in the moment.
Feel in the moment. Be in the moment. We get so stuck in the past, or so stuck going forward, that we're not in this moment.
I totally agree. 8 weeks ago yesterday, my dear brother-in-law went to be with Jesus as a result of cancer that he had fought for 8 years, or 11 years, I'm sorry. And my sister showed me a video of him 3 days before he passed away, sitting there drinking some coffee in the hospital room and eating a little bit. And he looked right at the camera and he said, live your life every moment. Every moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's basically the last thing he said. Really, he didn't say much after that.
And that's living the go-yard life.
Yeah, it is.
Is being in this moment.
Yeah.
Not thinking how everything's not going, that concrete ideal life or those regrets or those relationships or those losses. What's in this moment for me now?
Right.
Right here and now. I have these people with me. How can we make the best of that?
And don't you think, doctor, so often we are busy nitpicking people and their behavior and their attitudes, whatever, that we don't like. It doesn't conform to our plan and the way we want this thing to happen. And I think, and we've done shows on this, that a lot of times it's rooted in our own control.
Mm-hmm.
And we want things to be a certain way to the extent that we get critical. Human nature is to be critical, is to be opinionated, is to be accusatory, and we miss the gold of the moment.
We do. In fact, this concept is so important. It's my third working title of a book, In This Moment.
Wow.
In fact, when I started writing it, I was writing it on a cruise, noticing how everyone wasn't in this moment, and they were missing this beautiful vacation, and it was...
Wow.
It's such a powerful concept because we should only be spending maybe 10% of our time looking backwards and maybe 10% of our time planning forward. We should be spending 80%
now,
of us here and now.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, people have it backwards. They're usually about 10% in the here and now and 80% everywhere else. And they're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're missing the moments that they have right in front of them.
You know, take a look at your life and see what you really enjoy, you know, and make the most of that. You know, if it's reading, if that's your thing, kayaking, for most of our family, that's what it is. We love that. We get outdoors. And that is, my brother-in-law bought a new kayak a few months ago. We all know now that he knew that he didn't have much time left. But he and my sister spent weekends out and doing different things and out on the water and the memories, the pictures and all of that. That's what he enjoyed doing, you know, and he made the most of it. And I think what we're saying today on the show is so vitally important because when we live in the past and live in regrets, we're going to lose the moment.
We're losing the moment. Absolutely.
Yes, we're losing it.
We're losing it. We're giving it away. We're throwing it away.
Man, this is important stuff.
And there's so many treasures in this moment.
There are.
And so we need to be willing to let go. We need to be willing to say, I'm going to identify these regrets this year. I'm going to really look at this. I am going to use those feelings to help strengthen me for this year. What can I do different so I don't feel like this at the end of next year like I feel now?
Let's talk about overcoming regrets.
Okay.
Let's do that. Because that's what this show is about, is identifying the problem and then giving a solution.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do week after week on Go Yard. So talk to us about overcoming regrets.
So first we need to identify them. So look for those should have words, could have words, if words, when you're in your thinking, those things that you feel like you're missing or you should have done different, those things, start identifying them.
Okay.
And then when we can identify them, you could write them down. You can just think about them however you work.
Okay.
Some people love to write. Some people do not. And there's no formula for this. It's just identifying it in some way. And then let's use those as something to strengthen us and springboard us into next year.
Right.
What could I do different? If I'm regretting the relationship I have with my adult child, what could I do to help that be a little different
next
year?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
And I tell people when you're thinking, especially about relationships, be the hero. Don't expect the other person to make the first move.
Oh, I like that.
Every relationship needs a hero. If you're not happy with it, be the hero.
Be the hero.
Because that way you know you've done all you can. If they don't respond, it's on them.
But a lot of people would say, you know what? I didn't cause this problem. I didn't start this thing. I didn't add gasoline to this fire. I am not going to humble myself and go and ask, you know, to get this straightened out. That's where a lot of people are.
Absolutely. You know what I'm going to tell them is it's affecting you. It's affecting you every day.
Right.
And you don't like it. Then do something about it. Be the hero. This is not a tit for tat who caused problems. This is about not regretting and
mm-hmm.
moving forward. Move forward. Every relationship needs a hero. Be that hero.
And you're the only one. Mm-hmm. Probably that can. The other person may be stuck, absolutely stuck. And it's been my experience through the years when I've done that kind of thing, that for the most part, people accept that. They accept an apology. They say, yeah, I value what we've had. Let's talk. You know, that's been more common than not when I've been, quote unquote, the hero in a situation. But in some situations, it slapped me in the face pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, and it's a risk. It is a risk because not everyone's going to respond positively. A lot of people do, especially when you're like, you know, I really value this relationship. I want us to do it different. Can we, you know, go out to lunch together? Can we talk? Or, you know, a lot of people will feel receptive because they're probably missing it too.
Sure.
But then you're right. You can be the hero and you get it slapped in your face. But what I tell people is when you're the hero and they don't respond positively, you can't have a regret because you've done all you do in your power. It's on them, and that's going to be their regret later on. Keep an open heart. I always tell people, don't close your heart when you get it slapped in your face, mm-hmm. because they may recognize they're wrong and want to come back and try and make it right at some point. Let them.
There's an ad on TV about jewelry. I won't mention. You know which one I'm talking about?
It's one of my favorite pieces. One day I hope to get it.
Open heart.
I have a tattoo of two open hearts on my on my leg to keep our heart open towards people. Absolutely.
And that is so important, you know, because so often regret is what closes our heart. I mean, it's usually bitterness or something like that, unforgiveness. But then the regrets just make it worse and bar the door, you know, make it harder to get out of that mess. Overcoming regrets, Doctor, what else?
Overcoming them. So we're going to use that opportunity to help us do it different and be better. And we're going to start strengthening our ability to focus on what I can control.
What I can control, right?
Regret has a control factor. So
yes,
we need to
recognize
what I control and what I don't. So what do I control? I know we say on a lot of shows, but I can control my attitudes.
Right.
I control my actions.
Okay.
I can control my thinking.
Right.
I can control my responses.
Uh-huh.
And I can control my successes.
Okay. Let's go through those again. Somebody may want to be writing those down. Get a pen and write these down. These are the things I can control. There's a whole lot I cannot control.
Yeah, I tell you, if it doesn't fall within this parameter, it's not within your control. And so we got to learn to look at the control meter. What's in my control and what's not in my control?
Okay, what are things I can control, Doctor?
I can control my attitude. I can control how I let things going on, how I'm going to let it affect my day. Am I going to let this I knew this was going to happen. Everything's horrible, awful, rotten. That's a negative attitude. We can choose that one, or we can choose to say, yeah, I'm having a tough week, but I'm going to keep going forward, or I'm going to look for something positive in that moment. So that attitude is really important because attitudes drive behaviors.
Yes, attitudes drive behaviors. So very true.
So the next thing we can control is our thinking.
Yes.
And that's the perception, those glasses that we're putting on and mm-hmm. looking at what's going on. That's part of our attitude, and attitude and thinking are very connected. And so, but we can stop a thought we could start with an attitude that might not be positive and get it in the thinking stage and rewrite that thought.
Okay.
And make it help us instead of hurt us.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. So you could have that, my day, you know, this has been horrible. You don't understand what we're going through. We just lost our job. Nothing's ever going to work for us. That's it. Negative, self-defeating attitude. And then we could take that thought and go, wait, but we paid the rent this month. I still have the electric bill on, and I'm going to look for a job. You know, that's the thinking change.
Exactly.
And so that we control, how we think about it and how much we think about it.
Right.
And we don't want to sit and brew and brood.
Don't you think that's a big part of the paralysis of regret is that people let it just escalate and they take it in their thoughts to a awful, awful place where it never works out good in their behalf, and they're living in their parents' basement and they are declaring bankruptcy and they have nothing good in their life, and they take it to that extent. A lot of people in our thoughts.
Absolutely, they do. They catastrophize.
And
we want to stop that. So when we start feeling our thoughts going down a downward spot, write those down and let's reality test some of this. Reality test your thoughts, because a lot of them aren't real. They're catastrophized thoughts in our head that have grown to this mass monster proportion.
Right.
We control our responses. So even if something negative happens toward us, I can control how I respond to that.
Right.
And do I let it take over my emotions or do I not? And how do I respond? Do I walk away? Do I do something different? you know, I'm having a perfect opportunity for that with a difficulty I'm having with my vacation rental. And I could have let this ruin our whole planned vacation. Instead, we have a response and we have a backup plan. And whichever way it's going to be, we're going to make it the most wonderful time we can.
Absolutely. So you're saying, again, make lemonade out of these lemonade.
And those are responses. And then we control our successes. We control, are we doing something? You know, our actions, we're controlling our actions. Are we doing something to get us to where we're trying to go?
So the person that doesn't get into the university of their choice, they can't foresee themselves now being able to have the career they planned, go somewhere else.
Absolutely. There are alternatives, you know. And so looking outside that concrete ideal image is really important. Accepting responsibility. We're human. We're all going to make mistakes. Yes. We're all going to forget to do things. We're all going to have things that aren't the best in us. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of being human.
Yeah.
So challenge your thinking. So if you start feeling if only, should have, would have, could have, start challenging those thoughts.
If only what?
If only whatever. If only if I did this.
If I had not been driving the car when that wreck happened. If I, whatever.
Whatever. If only you fill in the blank. There could be millions of things under that. You know, so here's the thing. We all suffer one of two pains. We're either going to suffer the pain of discipline to get where we want.
Oh, wow.
We're going to suffer the pain of regret.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's go back over that. We all suffer two pains.
Yes. So it's either going to be one of these two pains. You're either going to suffer the pain of discipline to make the change to go forward, or you're going to suffer the pain of regret.
Hmm.
And so I often tell people when the pain of change, when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, people start to move. But why do we have to sit in that much pain for so long?
Right.
The pain of change is forward moving. You're right. Going to get out of it.
Right.
The pain of regret, stagnant. You're stuck.
Hmm.
It's like sitting in quicksand. Think about, you know, the regret, just it's quicksand.
It is quicksand. I was just thinking about, I know somebody who'd recently been diagnosed with lung cancer and finally decided to quit smoking, and the smoking had been going on since they were like 14. So that regret of, I wish I hadn't done this, but yet it took something so huge instead of just disciplining themselves to quit smoking earlier on.
And that's a lot of times how it happens.
Wow.
When the pain of staying the same is worse than the pain of change, that's when people want to make the change. They want the least pain.
Right.
But I'm telling you, the pain of change is always smaller than the pain of regret, because the pain of change moves and goes, you get through it and you're over it.
Yeah.
And you're better. The pain of regret, you're sinking in it.
You're still, And the quicksand is a great metaphor, because that is what it is with regret. You know, if you're living in that, dear listener, it's only going to get worse for you. If you choose not to change this and use the discipline of new thinking, et cetera, all the things we're talking about tonight, it will only get worse. It cannot get better on its own.
Well, because now you're adding to it. You're losing these moments.
Right.
And we're adding more regret and more regret and more regret. And it just, it consumes us before long. It has consumed us and sucked us under.
A person that has a bad infection, let's say. Okay, they've got an open wound and it's terrible and it's seeping and whatever, and they just look at it and hope it gets better, right? Just hope it gets better. But if they don't ever take an antibiotic or treat it or clean it or cover it or whatever, it's still only going to get worse, and you may lose your finger.
Absolutely. I mean,
you see that with diabetics on their feet and their toes and stuff, right?
All the time.
So that's a good metaphor to remember. This is what's going to happen to you, folks. It's time to face these regrets, deal with them, go into 2017 with a kind of a clean slate, if you will.
Washing some of that out, having a new plan of action.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling people that you need to say, oh my gosh, I have, you know, 45 regret. So I'm going to have to do something to change every one of them. Do something to change one.
One.
Just start.
One.
Just start with one.
Because you're going to find it feels so much better.
And when you have a little success, it gives you more energy and strength to continue with success.
It does.
Find one. If it's a relationship, if it's a job status, if it's just your life didn't turn out the way you did and you just see everything so horrible all the time. Whatever it is, find one and make one plan to start moving forward with that one regret.
We talk a lot on this show about chunking things. Would you address that when it comes to this topic?
I love chunking, because it's taking huge amount of something big and making it into very small, manageable parts.
Okay.
You know, when you look at the whole picture, it gets overwhelming and we give up easily because it's hard to keep focus for a long period of time. We're humans. We don't do that well. And chunking is a way to have very small steps.
Right.
That end up making very large changes when you commit to very small steps.
Whoa. Okay. So anything else on overcoming regret that you need to say, or you feel like we pretty much covered it?
I think we have covered this.
Can you kind of summarize this show, Dr. Angel Falzone, licensed mental health counselor, PhD?
Well, in summary of the show, you know, regrets are just those feelings of depression and sadness and guilt and embarrassment about something we did or didn't do.
Right.
We need to learn. We want to start shedding some of those. We don't want to keep letting it steal from us every day, taking our moments and keeping us from our future. So just let's look to identify those areas of regrets. Look for ways to strengthen, you know, look at your control of what I control, my actions, my thoughts, my attitudes. How can I do something about this today to make a difference for me tomorrow? And, you know, look at the responsibility, challenge your thinking, and just whatever you do, go forward.
Go forward, do not go back, and certainly do not try to stay stuck, because that stuck place is quicksand for you.
Absolutely.
And will only get worse, get worse, get worse. So if your vision of your life is not what you wanted it to be, as we turn the calendar over for a new year, let's look at our blessings. Let's look at those things that have worked out good on our behalf. And what we can do about the past is deal with it.
Deal with it.
Deal with it. And not let it consume you. Not let it consume you, consume you. And as we start this new year, I want to remind people that they can hear these shows over and over again. And that's the beauty of technology. You can come here to tantalknetwork.com and go to our podcasts. Go to Go Yard and listen to our shows. You can also, at the end of each month, our webmaster puts them on our website, which is goyard2014.org. They stay there indefinitely. We've got two and a half years of shows right there, like we mentioned earlier. Go there. GoYard2014.org. Tell people about the website. Go listen. Listen, listen.
You know what? I'm going to challenge our listeners that if you're struggling with this regret, go back and also hear the show on gratitude.
Yes.
Because it will help you focus where you're wanting to get your focus.
We did that not that long ago.
Yes, we did. Over Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So it's a great pairing.
It was the mindset of gratitude.
Yes,
we noticed the difference between mindset and attitude. So go back. That was in November, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Go back and listen to that mindset of gratitude, and it will help you. We'll have another very helpful show next week, and then we'll go into a new year. Exciting stuff.
Always, always.
Dr. Angel, our resident expert and amazing, amazing, wise person, and that you are. And many blessings to you this Christmas week and to all of our listeners as we celebrate the birth of Jesus and as we just move forward into a new year. Almost there. Oh, who are you anyway?
I'm Dr. Angel.
Oh, yeah, that's who you are. And I'm Mama Mac, bringing you Go Yard. And we'll see you again live next Thursday night right here on this channel and at 12 noon Eastern on Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Write that down, StarcomRadioNetwork.com, 12 noon, Saturday and Sunday, every single weekend. You can hear the show.
Good night.
Good night. See you next week.